You are now checked in to Stand Up New York Labs. Oh, yeah.
This is the Real Ass Podcast. Here's your host, Luis J. Gomez.
What's up, Gomites? Luis J. Gomez hanging out at the Real Ass Studios, Stand Up New York Labs. Zach Amico, Chris Scopo in studio. What's going on, guys?
Happy to be here, buddy.
I know you are. International superstar Zach Amico, fat ass fucking attitude, Chris Scopo.
Hey, Luis. I'm happy to be here today.
You're like the WWE's Attitude Era. Just a lot of attitude.
Didn't really watch wrestling.
And so a lot.
Rikishi specifically.
You have Rikishi butt.
I would love to know what that meant, but I have no idea what that means.
Scopo's not good with references. This is what we figured out in a dozen
good with
or so.
Movie references.
No, you're good with terrible movie. No, not terrible movie references. Terrible movies references. Like, you only know shitty movies. What was his favorite movie?
National
you found out
Treasure.
Last night?
Yeah.
National Treasure.
What's up with that?
He picked the Nick Cage movie that's not Con Air.
First of all.
Because he's fucking wrong.
First of all, your favorite movie was National Treasure.
There was an invisible map on the Declaration of Independence. It was brilliant. Okay? Brilliant. You know how much of a nerd I was? I did a Broadway play. I was an usher, and the guy who was in the movie, the guy who gets in Hangover, who gets taken up on the building, what's his name? I forget his name, but he was in
The retarded kid from Geely.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So he was in the play, and I bought the DVD, and I made him sign it for me. So I was like, I'm a huge fan of the movie. He's like, yeah, no problem, buddy.
Hey, bro, I just want to say your performance in that movie was fucking pretty
fucking
epic, bro.
Me. I ain't gonna lie.
It was
it
spot
me.
On, okay?
All right, look, we got a great guest in studio today. Hilarious comedian, which I say about everybody, but once again, I do mean it this time with this guy, Greg Stone. Greg Stone.
Yo, dude.
What's
Thanks
up, man?
Me. No, man. Happy to be here.
This is the first time we did this intro.
Yet.
We said to stop rolling. Hopefully that was sound. Listen to me. If that sounded seamless, okay, then I will say that Stand Up New York Labs, they're pretty fucking good. But we had to stop Greg's intro in the middle of it before, so this is the second time we're doing it.
Real fast. Is that your dad on the guitar?
Wait for the guitar to come in. My dad will come in.
This is Greg's dad.
This is my brother's band, and my brother just had this. My
is that your dad playing guitar
just
right there?
Shredding. Yeah. He's really going to come in and just tear everyone an asshole. Just a 65-year-old fucking
playing
dude.
A banjo. Doom, 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 doom. I told you, Greg, we're playing his music this way.
Yeah, it's my brother's album. My brother's in this band called The Banners, a hardcore band from Jersey. And this is like their first album in 6 years. So it came out last week. It's called The Grang.
This is brand new. Okay, so here's the thing that I'm a little bit annoyed about. Dude, you did not ask for permission to plug music on the Real Ass Podcast. And our fan base and listenership is worth a lot of money.
Well, you know, I'm coming in hard.
It's a little misleading.
I gotta push my sister's restaurant.
Dude, before you go pick up the Banner's new album, Bones to Dust, maybe you can go to Molly's ice cream shop.
Close, Monica. Well, she doesn't know. She's fucking, who knows what she's doing.
Monica's a hot name. I always thought Monica was a hot name for a chick. Is your sister hot?
She's all right. She looks like me.
Why? Because Monica.
So she is not hot.
Monica sounds like a girl with a big ass.
Is it because of Monica and Friends?
Just Monica in general. I knew a Monica that was hot when I was younger. She was pretty smoking, like punk rock chick. I knew a couple hot Monicas in my
I don't
day.
Think I ever really met a Monica. It's not a popular name.
So you have your brother, you got your sister.
Yeah, I'm the middle. My brother's older, my sister's younger.
How old is your brother?
He was born in 1979, whatever that is.
Okay, so he's an old dude, too. I was just imagining, I don't know why, in my mind, we're still like kids.
Yeah, yeah. I'm
so I'm imagining you're like fucking 19, and he's like 21. He's your brother playing like in this band, and then your old dad comes in. Yeah. But your brother's an old dude.
He's an old
in
dude.
In all fairness, the song does sound like it's surrounded by fucking blacklight posters from Spencer's.
That's a good way to get yourself to figure four. Just like, you know, I will figure four everybody here, Zach.
And I will turn it fucking over and put the pressure back on you.
He will not sharpshooter me, my friend.
Greg Stone.
I still don't know what finger four means.
Very interesting.
Yeah, because you called it a finger four.
Whatever the fuck it is, you nerds with fucking WWE shit.
You don't know what a figure four is, Scopes?
No, I have no idea what it is.
I'll show you after the show.
You stink, dude.
You guys stink.
I just don't understand how you can be a man in life and not know Ric Flair quotes.
Because I fucking got girls and played baseball when I was younger. That's what the fucking
So
thing
hold
was.
On. You just chose that hairstyle. It wasn't an homage to Ric Flair. Really?
Yeah, dude, well, when you really? Have hair this fantastic, you need to let it grow, unlike you.
Now go, woo, and then you just did it. You were just fucking Ric Flair. You just would have nailed it.
I know who Ric Flair is. I'm not going to lie. Why the fucking headphones keep fucking up? I know who Ric Flair is. I know who Randy Savage is about it.
What did you do as a child? No wrestling?
I played sports.
You just played sports?
Yeah. I literally from the age of...
He gave noogies to guys like us.
Then you went home and you did what?
Actually, why am I acting like I was a nerd? Like, I was a nerd, but nobody gave me noogies. I was the guy protecting the guys that were getting noogies.
I didn't give noogies to anybody. I was a good kid. I just played sports. I was from the ages of like 8, I was playing baseball fucking 10 months a year.
You never gave a nerdier kid a wedgie?
No.
Never in your life?
Never once.
You were just a nice kid.
I was a nice kid. Okay. They thought I was a nerd because I had glasses and I was skinny. And then I'll never forget, I was playing baseball and I was made the team and I had glasses and the kids were like, oh, you made the team? What are you, the manager? Like the ball boy? And I was like, no, I'm like one of the best players. They're like, they couldn't fathom that I was good.
Nice glasses, faggot.
Yeah.
Is it bringing memories back right now?
A little bit, guys. It hurts.
So you're middle child. How old is your sister?
She was born 82. She's like a year younger than me.
Okay, so I was born 82. So you're older than me. I did not know that.
Yeah, 81.
Okay, all right. Very interesting. Yeah. Okay, so me and your sister are the same age.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you ever like get into weird fights, like protecting her from fucking your friends?
I feel bad here. I literally get so protective over my family. Like, it's insane. Like, people go, Joe, could you say something about Joe? I'll fucking murder every fucking one of you. I get insane. Me and my brother's the same way.
That's the Italian.
I had a glimpse of him the other night.
I get very... me and my brother, we've been in a lot of fights together. We, one day, this dude...
was walking down the neighborhood being black.
Hey, kid, where you going? Where you going? Oh, yeah, no, come here.
I think you're in the wrong part of town.
You're from Jersey, right?
Yeah, I'm from, everyone walked. I grew up in a black, it was all black. I was the only white kid where I grew up. It was me, my brother's kid Tom, and mostly Puerto Ricans.
You were really defensive of your sister, because these fucking...
It was like all three Jose brothers were trying to hit my sister, one after another. Like, Monica! And she was like, this is fucking bullshit. But my sister was tough, so I didn't like have to worry about her. I think I'm more protective over my brother.
Yeah?
In a weird way. Yeah,
those Jose brothers fucked the shit out of Joe.
Joe was just getting plowed in his ass. Greg kicked in the door. Get the fuck out of here, Martinez's! So, dude, we will never talk about this, especially not on a podcast, right? I will never talk about this on a podcast. Dude, all right, that's crazy because I always had an older sister, and my sister was like a hermit, so I never had to like get protective of her because nobody wanted to fuck my sister.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Well, because she had that giant shell on her back.
Yeah, yeah, and she used to... She used to literally just stay in the house. She'd go home from school every day and go to sleep.
Yeah, yeah.
And then she'd wake up at like 8 o'clock at night and just like listen to music by herself. That's so nobody wanted that. Your sister was like going out and like fucking partying and shit.
No, my sister was like, I don't think she hit college. Was she really like, she was just kind of fine. Like, I grew up on a block with 40 kids, so we were all family. Like, we grew up like...
Their family and one Hispanic family.
No, they were all Hispanic. They were all, literally it was my brother, it was just 50 Puerto Ricans, a few black kids, and then just that's it, really. Some Dominicans. They were just, you know, sprinkled in. We had to sprinkle a few Dominicans.
Did that make you more, like, understanding of the culture, or did it make you more racist?
Well, the thing is, what's weird is that I was always, you know, the white kid. Everyone's like, their parents are like, oh, you know, fucking Greg being so white, Greg being so white. Like, I was like that, but it was just accepted. It was fine. Like, it was my gimmick. I had a gimmick.
Did they call you Blanquito?
They call me Blanquito, Gringo,
yeah,
Chocha, all the good ones.
Were you like a tough kid, girl? Because you're a big dude. You're like under the radar big. Like, you look like a pussy. You know, like, you don't look like a tough kid at all. But then I started looking, you like got big shoulders and shit, and you're fucking like, and you've been into a bunch of scraps. I bet you could do some damage, dude.
I used to be. I mean, I've been into a bunch of fights when I was younger because, you know, you had to, you know, like just growing up, you know.
Yeah, you know, but you got to fucking peel those Dominicans off your sister.
I was the only white kid, and I didn't meld, you know, like I didn't become like half black or like I was a punk kid, so I stood out really. I stood out, and people would just be like, oh, look, you're the fucking weird one here. Let's chase him. So I started rollerblading. I would rollerblade away from them.
So you That's did a like, good way to tell people you're not gay. Just rollerblade away from them.
Backwards. Fuck off, homos.
Yeah.
See you later. So you would do like aggressive inline skating,
right?
Yeah, I used to skateboard.
I used to skateboard until someone stole my skateboard and bike. So I was like, well, I can't stake your rollerblades.
Like, you borrowed your sister's rollerblades.
Yeah. And people, the thing too is like people like, like I didn't know there was like a rollerblade skateboard beef, you know, because people were like, oh, skateboarder, man, rollerblades. Like, because all the kids I skated with were just kids from Newark. So whenever we would go to places, it was just all these like rich white kids who'd be like, oh, we ain't fucking with those guys. They're fucking dirty. That guy's got two different skates on. Like nobody knew. Not till I got like older. People were like, you rollerbladed fruit boots? I was like, I didn't know that was a thing. My dudes would have stabbed you for saying that. They would have fucking cut you.
I tried to do all that shit. I was just a fat kid, so I couldn't do any like aggressive. Like I had rollerblades because I couldn't skateboard because I was too fat. So I was like, all right, I'll get rollerblades and I'll try. But then I couldn't jump more than like an inch. So I fucking just, I think twice I tried to like grind on like a curb and I fell and I was like, fuck, why would anybody ever do that?
Yeah, yeah.
It's just not fun. Yeah. There's nothing. Were you good?
Yeah, I was, I just got fat. Like I'm recently fat.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was.
I mean, I've known you for like 5 years, but anyway, go ahead.
That's like last 5 years. You know, like okay.
2 years,
1 year, you know?
Yeah. The minute I met you, you got fat.
Dude, it was like 20 seconds before. Yeah, I was like semi-professional. I was sponsored by this skate shop that closed down.
Yeah, but everybody's sponsored.
Not really.
Everybody who, yeah, kind of.
Sponsored by that curb.
By my fucking, my AA sponsor.
Man, I was good. I was really good. I wasn't like the best. That's the thing that always scares me about comedy. I don't know. I'm very crazy today. I couldn't get to a certain level. I couldn't get to that next like pro level. And so I was always just right. Like there was just a certain amount of rails I couldn't jump on. I just couldn't jump that high.
Yeah.
And that scares me with comedy. It's like, man, am I ever going to get past that? That part of like to be, you know, good to like fucking, you know.
No.
1%.
No, you won't.
I won't, and that's fine. I'll just be on this.
All right, podcast over, guys. Thanks for listening to the Real Ass Podcast today. Greg Stone, quitting comedy. Yeah. That's always an interesting thing to me. Have you ever been close to quitting comedy before?
No, I'll never quit. Okay. I've never even thought about it.
Yeah, never mind. Me neither.
Yeah, yeah. Have you?
Yeah, dude. You think about a couple times I thought about quitting. Not now.
I thought about it last night.
Every time Scopo gets off stage, he thinks about it.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah.
And it's not even
almost as
to.
Much as the audiences do.
Well, the people are yelling it at him. Quit! He has to think.
I was like, oh, shit, maybe they're right about this finance thing.
I mean, you know, look, no, I think before, but maybe before like a year and a half ago, maybe every 6 months to a year, I would get into like a funk where I'd go, oh, dude, what the fuck am I doing?
Yeah.
And I crossed the threshold where it hasn't gotten that bad again.
Yeah, yeah.
But what's going to happen is, like, you know, you jump these levels, and then all your peers start getting shit. That's what happened. Like, I was at a certain level. I didn't have anything, and I was with a bunch of guys who didn't have anything.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you start to go, what the fuck am I doing? And then I got a couple things. And then I was like, okay, well, now I got a couple things. That'll kind of keep me going. But now I'm at that level of the dudes who've got a couple things, and all those dudes are now getting more things, yeah, and yeah. I'm not. So eventually I'll hit a wall and go, what the fuck am I doing? You know, it doesn't matter. It's just cycles over and over again, especially somebody like me. I'm like, I have a very negative like attitude. So like I will definitely, like, it's like peaks and valleys. And the truth is, like, the valleys, they used to go really, really low.
Yeah, yeah.
Right now, my valleys are higher than my peaks were 2 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, but, you know, it'll probably catch up at one point. I'm sure I'll get to a fucking dark place where I go, what the fuck am I doing? You know?
Yeah,
but
yeah.
That's me. I don't know.
Yeah, my dad did comedy. I don't know if I told you that before, but
I'm sick of your fucking multi-talented family.
No,
the
dude.
Fucking music.
Dad, the excellent guitar player, well, also.
No, the refrigerator salesman who didn't pay child support. Yeah, yeah, that multi-talented guy. He wasn't like a real comic. He just was like a part-time guy. So I always saw him, and it was like, he's poor, and there's a refrigerator salesman and miserable. I can be a refrigerator salesman and just be happy. Like, I could just be poor and do comedy. Like, I'll just be what he is, only I'll just enjoy what I do. So, like, the option of quitting was like, well, what's that? Then just go to UPS? Like, I'll just fucking
be. You can't do that. You're white.
Miserable.
Gregson's dad is Stephen Lynch. His real last name is Lynch. That wasn't a very creative joke. I'm a little stoned, guys. I got into an argument with B this morning, and I got really high in my backyard.
That's a shocker.
And now I'm not very quick today.
Yeah, so. I'm still high from last night. I got really high. When you texted me last night, I thought you were telling me to come have lunch with you for the diet. I don't know why. I woke up, I was like, you want to have lunch? And then I was like, I wrote it down. I was like, oh, no, real ass podcast. I was like, what?
Wait, so you made plans with me for lunch today?
Yeah, I thought we were hanging out.
You made lunch plans with me. And you were enthusiastic.
I was ready. I was like, I will be there, bro. Let's do this. I thought it was that. I was like, all right, man, whatever, dude.
Fucking new. Now a podcast is like, I don't want to do a podcast. I want
now he's stuck talking to you and two fucking open micers fucking staring at his phone, hating his life. I thought there was going to be food involved.
So your dad was like, how long did your dad do comedy for?
You know, it was weird because like he worked at a comedy club as like a, you know, like the guy who like, you know, did the sound and shit. And he would get up. He was like part-time type of shit.
He was like a Scopo.
Kind of like a Scopo type thing, you know. He was really, really funny, but never...
So not like a Scopo. Okay, hold on. What are we gotta be? Can we be clear for
a minute?
We
were hating on Scopo Day. Well, I walked in
I'm
here.
Sorry. I'm sorry,
fucking buy you breakfast.
You did buy me breakfast.
And you fucking cocksuckers are attacking
me. I'll pay you back for it. I apologize.
Both of you.
I apologize. Scopo's
fucking headphones aren't working, Fatty 8.
He had a great set at LOL like last week when I saw him.
One of zero.
He's bringing him up.
Yeah, Jesus, I fucking bombed. What do you mean?
Doing something. I don't know.
All right. So anyway, good. What were you saying? Your dad was like a door guy, part timer.
Yeah, yeah. And then I don't know what the question was.
I said, how long did he do it for?
Oh, like I don't know, probably like maybe 5-6 years. I didn't really know he was doing it. Like it didn't really occur to me because I grew up. He would take me to comedy clubs. And like, cause he worked there,
so you were exposed to comedy super young.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, okay. I saw fucking Dom Irrera 5,000 times. I've seen fucking. I know Kevin Meaney's act like word for word because my dad would take me to see these guys every time they were there.
What club was this?
Bananas in Hasbrook Heights.
That's amazing. I was supposed to go to fucking Bananas.
I'm doing that.
You are doing it.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, yeah. If you look on the wall, my dad's picture's there. You'll see my dad's picture on the wall.
On the wall. I'm pumped.
You get really excited.
I'm really pumped for it. I'm not gonna lie.
The fucking Stones all have that goofy face. Yeah. Fucking Monica Stone with red knows. Hair with that
but
face.
But his last name isn't Stone.
Stone's my mom's name.
Yeah.
Yeah. Coraluzzo is my dad's name.
That is a shitty name.
Yeah. So
Stone's a lot
that.
Better.
It's
way to go with Stone.
Greg Coraluzzo.
Coraluzzer. What I got.
Okay.
So it was like, well, I'm not gonna do that. I don't need that shit.
Well, what do you think they were gonna? Is that what you thought the comedy scene was? Was a bunch of fucking schoolyard bullies? Hey, fucking Cora loser, you're getting bumped.
Wait,
you fucking queer.
I don't want to fucking tell a story I've told a million times, but you know, I told you the story why I changed my name to Stone, right?
Maybe I don't think so.
The stand, I was doing a show at Stand Up New York. Here it was a bringer show. This is like 2004, and
you've been doing comedy for 10 years.
I've been doing comedy since 2001.
Wow.
I don't tell people that because I'm not good enough to be doing comedy as long as I've been doing it.
Don't tell people that.
So, I started right after 9/11.
Hey, one day your picture will be up at Bananas.
One day, man. One day.
I'm just going to put it in there. When I give me a picture. I'll just put it in there next time I go. All right?
Bring a picture with
can
me.
We change
you
your...
deserve to be in there for that long.
Can we change your name back to Coraluzzo?
Sure. Fine. It's on all of my things. It's all like Coraluzzo, but I say Stone. Like it's not like a hidden
thing. Okay, anyway, so why'd you change it? Good.
So I was doing this bringer show, and I do my act or whatever. I get off. There's like five people there.
It's like George Bush, huh? The worst president ever. Anyway, good.
Yeah. The five people who are there are people I brought. One of them is my brother, who is in that band, who's 6'3", tattoos, that just fully tattooed. It's like I think he had a devil lock at the time, like from the Misfits. You know, he's just fucking going down his face. He's there. So they bring up – so I get off. They bring up the next comic. They're like your next – you never believe it's clear. Keep it going. Jerry Seinfeld. Seinfeld comes in. There's five people there.
Where was this?
Here, downstairs.
Oh, here. Oh.
Yeah, yeah. He's doing this thing where he goes, he does his act. No one's really laughing because it's like he's working new stuff. And he goes, does anybody have any questions for me? So I'm like, in my head, I'm like, oh, he wants us to get him to do bits. Because I, at the time, I had just seen Brian Regan. And Brian Regan does a thing where he's like, hey, does anyone do any bits you want to hear? And people go, the big yellow one's a son. And then he does those bits.
Yeah.
So I'm like, he needs our help. Oh. I raised my hand, and I was like, Jerry, what's up with people who ride the bus? Which isn't even a Seinfeld joke.
Oof.
I think that's just how you insult Jerry Seinfeld. And he goes...
What's the deal?
Yeah. And he goes, weren't you just the comic up here talking about nothing?
Oof.
And then I was like, oh. I was like, no, I wasn't trying to heckle. I really wasn't trying to heckle. But then my brother goes, didn't you write a fucking show on nothing? Which is like a great Seinfeld riff. So I'm like...
Oh, shit.
And that's a good one, yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, I was trying to heckle. I thought this is the thing. He goes like, and I leave. I'm standing at the door. Seinfeld walks by me, and I'm trying to apologize to him. He goes to the door. My brother is standing there with his arms crossed, looks at Jerry right in his eyes, and just goes, hey, Greg, you want to fuck up Jerry Seinfeld? And I was like, no, I don't want it. He goes, I was like, yeah, and just he moves, like lets him pass. He gets in his Porsche and his $100 million and drives away. And I was like, Joe.
$100 million, wasn't it?
Oh, more, you know, whatever. I don't know how much it's got.
About $800 million.
Really? Jesus.
Yeah.
So I was like, they're going to ban me from comedy. Seinfeld's going to talk to Colin Quinn. They're going to have a meeting, and they're like, this Carluzzo guy's done. So then I that, and then the fact that I got a job at a hospital, I didn't want people looking at my comedy. I was like, I'll just go with my mom's name. I'll go by Stone. And
why would you tell such an amazing story, and then in the end of it, right as it's about to be on the fucking button, like, this, here's the thing, it was an amazing story, okay?
Yeah.
But you literally trampled over the end of your story with a shittier other reason that you also... Like, it's an epic story. Like, to end it with the story. I'm like, yeah, dude, so that's why I'm going by Greg Stone, just in case Seinfeld's looking for me.
And it's hospital job.
Like, oh, yeah, I gotta get the hospital job.
More the hospital job.
You know what? That wasn't even a true story. It's really all hospital. And after I was doing it for 8 years, I was like, you know what, dude? Maybe it's time to have a rebirth.
Yeah.
2007 dude, rolled around.
I killed the Bringer shows, man. I killed those Bringer shows.
That's
if
fucking...
you beat the shit out of Jerry Seinfeld, you've been the guy who beat the shit out of Jerry Seinfeld. That's dude, a pretty that's... good story.
Yeah. Dude, that's so fucking funny, dude. It's so funny because, like, when you don't know kind of like comedy etiquette, when you're really, really young in the game, you don't get it. You know, like, you know, I used to be very cocky. I used to sit down at Stand Up New York and I ran all the shows Thursday through Sunday. The late shows were my shows, and then Thursday and Sunday shows were my shows.
Yeah.
And I ran the street teams for this club. So we brought in, you know, upwards of 1,000 people a week sometimes, you know, anywhere between 500 and 1,000 people a week to this venue. We fucking basically owned the place. That's why we were able to do blow and smoke weed and bang chicks in the hallways. We just were animals. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, so you don't really know the etiquette. And then on top of that, I was super cocky because I had these shows with no accountability. You know what I'm saying? It was Wayne Rader was in charge. He's a fucking animal.
Yeah.
So it's kind of funny. I remember one time I went to a show. And fucking, it was the Dating It show, Jeff Singer's Dating It show.
Okay.
He used to do a show basically where comics would come up, do a set, and then you would, they would bring up audience members and they would try to win a date with the comic. And I'm trying to remember the
Who
name.
Who wants to win
Do they still have these shows? Or?
Yeah, they don't, I don't think it happens anymore. But either way, this is like the original like alt shows. Like Jeff Singer was doing all these like different weird like alt shows. So this one chick did. I remember I wasn't even a comic yet, or I might have, maybe I'd done like an open mic or two or whatever the first couple times that I went on stage or whatever. But this chick, I volunteered to be one of the guys that were going to win the date with her, which is just, you just don't do that if you're like in the comedy world. Just let it be for the audience. You know what I'm saying? So I did it, dude. And she fucking, she said, if you were going to be a Halloween costume, if I was going to be a Halloween costume, what would I be? And then she said like a police officer, a kite, or something, and it was supposed to be Y, or a fire truck. And then I made a joke. I said, a kike.
Before you said kite, I was like, you say kike? I was like, that's definitely
no, that's what
it,
I said. Right? I was like, a kike. And I forget what I said, but it was just stupid. But it got a big laugh. I got a pop. And she got annoyed. I could see on her face that she got annoyed that I got a laugh.
Of course.
I remember I felt it right there. I was like, oh, shit, I wasn't supposed to do that. This was her moment and her time to fucking get a laugh. It's not about me. It's not about the audience. And it's the same instinct when, you know, an audience member fucking says something.
Yeah.
And you have to – it's because here's the thing. The audience – like, let's say you're in the crowd. You're in a show doing a set, and an audience member not necessarily heckles, but maybe tags something, says something.
Yeah.
It's kind of lighthearted, but it gets a big laugh, right?
Yeah.
In my mind, I'm stewing right now, and I'm angry, right?
Yeah.
And if you show that to the audience, you'll ruin it all. They go like, "What the fuck?"
Why is
they
he
don't.
Mad?
They don't get
I
at all.
We're all having a good time. It's like, no, I'm supposed to be having a good time. You're supposed to shut the fuck up and listen. Yeah, I get
it's
that.
Insanity.
Yes,
but I'm
know.
Like, no, dude, it's about me. It's such a childish thing that I would get mad about that. But I'm still kind of right, though.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Totally.
It's kind of nuts, dude. I dealt with a thing last night at a show. There was a fucking chick, dude. She was there. She stayed. This is what happens, dude. You go to these shitty fucking rooms, and then they're not filling up. So they'll invite the audience from the earlier show to stay for the next show. But in the earlier show, they weren't even a good crowd.
No,
so they were just kind of shitty.
Drunk. Yeah.
So they're just drinking. So now at this point, they just don't want to go out into the cold.
Yeah.
And they're just drunk and they're shitty. So I come up, and this woman is just being an asshole. Like, just keeps on, once again, doing the thing where the audience, I'm acting like I'm overreacting, you know what I'm saying? Because she's just kind of saying things and kind of chattering, and she's not really being super disruptive. They're used to her chattering the whole time, but I'm not.
Yeah.
So it's bugging me that I keep on hearing her. So to them, you know, like when you're at a bar show and there's a lot of like bar noise and there's like clanking and shit.
Yeah.
If you're not in the room the whole time, that can be very distracting. But once you're there for 5 minutes, that's just not really a big deal anymore.
Yeah.
So the audience had settled into her being a fucking twat already,
yeah.
but I hadn't. So I went hard quick. So I had other audience members being like, come on, dude, calm down. Like, what's your problem? She's not even being that bad.
Yeah.
I'm like, she is being that bad. She's ruining my fucking dreams. Do you understand? This is my dream right now.
Yeah.
It's insanity.
Yeah, dude, I go hard too fast every day of my life.
Yeah.
I am the guy. I am the cop who shoots the guy in the hallway because he pulled out a fucking, you know, he wanted to show you his wallet. And I'm like, no, like I.
So you shoot a black guy.
I shoot all. Dude, you know that they do that comic strip.
You're the
audition?
Darren Wilson of comedy.
Dude, I even do fucking. You know that did that comic strip show where they're like, we're gonna tell you if you're funny or not. See if you get passed.
Oh yeah, I won that.
Oh God,
I won it, bitch.
I was doing a show.
Did you not win it?
No.
Well, this is back in '02. They only had one microphone. It was a whole thing.
This is maybe 6 months ago.
No, it wasn't.
No, it was like 2010,
okay.
2011.
Yeah, that's probably when I did it.
Yeah. So I'm doing the four other comics on it. Horrendous. Nobody is good. But I'm like, I'm all amping myself up, being like, if they say shit to me, I'm gonna fucking shut them down. I'm gonna shut them down.
Who were the judges though?
I don't remember who the judges were. One of them was the dude, the cowboy dude,
Dustin Chaffin.
No, the other one. Doesn't matter.
Well, the other cowboy? There's another one?
The gray hair.
Someone better tell Dustin.
Oh, yeah. He was Vic Henley.
Vic Henley.
Yeah, he was a judge in mine as well. Yeah. Mine was Artie Lang, Vic Henley, and what's her name? Corey Kahaney.
Oh, yeah. No, mine was Vic Henley.
And she said, you remind me of a young Bill Burr. And this is back then. It was pretty awesome.
Oh, please.
It was pretty great. It was a great moment.
How hard were you, Lewis?
She meant your hairline.
Your dick must have got so hard when that happened.
I know, it was great. I won. I dominated. Well, and Artie Lang said, well, he was like, oh, you're obviously the only real comic up there. Everyone else is fucking amateurs.
Yeah, that's cool.
It was great. Anyway, what happened with you?
So the girl before me.
So you just remember that we were on the same show? But wait a minute. Artie Lang called me an amateur. I remember this Puerto Rican guy, Corey Gaines, and Bill Murray.
Now, it was some girl that they ripped into really mean, and she was okay. She was just shy. The dude who went on, who won, did a joke about ripping his shirt open and having a bomb. And he won because he had brought the whole audience. He was like, I'm a terrorist. And like they were like, this guy's the funniest thing I've ever fucking seen.
A young Nimesh Patel, everyone.
I go up, and I'm like, I'm doing my shit, and I'm doing well. I did really well.
Apparently not.
No, I mean, I'm telling you.
Crushing it.
Crushed it. I crushed my audition. The first, Vic Henley goes, I do a joke, I go, it's just one line in a sentence where I go, oh, I gave a guy €2, which is like 100 American dollars. And he goes, that math doesn't make up. And I just flipped because I was ready for them to be shitty. So I was like, yeah. Who the fuck are you? And then he was like, what? And I was like, nobody even knows who you are. Who are you to even judge me? And then they were like, all the judges are like, fuck this guy. We're going to fucking. But then I'm just like, none of you could all be janitors. Am I getting judged by janitors? So I'm just fucking going way too far.
I think Stone needs anger management.
Oh, I do. I really? But then Vic was kind of like, no, I just meant that you could be clear about that joke. And I was like, oh, yeah, sorry. But I just fucking reamed it.
You have
and then the owner.
You act the way people accuse me of acting.
Yeah. No,
I don't act that
wait,
way.
Accuse?
Yeah. When do I go too far too fast?
When you rape?
Yeah. I've seen you a few times go too far, way too
taxis?
Fast.
Taxis? Just taxis. That's
oh,
it.
Every time we're driving,
customer
and someone,
service people.
Every time we're driving in a car and someone crosses the street and you don't like it, you fucking blow the window and yell at them, almost throw a bottle at them.
That's hilarious.
It's not hilarious.
Dude. It's fucking hilarious. Funny, dude.
I'm into it.
That's funny.
Let people know street justice, man. These people can't go unchecked.
I can't wait till someone shoots you.
Fucking people.
I do. By the way, I do that a lot. I walk around and I feel like I am a superhero.
Yes.
And I need to correct people's behaviors.
I'm not against you. You're just doing something that's wrong. And let me fix that.
Yeah, exactly.
That is how I feel.
Yeah, exactly, dude.
Absolutely.
Exactly. There was a guy today. There was a fucking homeless guy, black guy. And he, I could
first
say,
of all, by the way, you said, when guy. Do you do this? We've named four to five times in the last 10 seconds that you've done something.
We already decided last week that I don't think about anything before I speak. So it's okay.
Yeah.
There was a guy and he was just, he started cursing. He was just like kind of going crazy and he was eating a sandwich. It was just grossing me out that he was eating the sandwich and talking at the same time, like spilling food everywhere out of his mouth. So everyone's kind of watching this fight. He was a big black guy too. And he's like, oh, fuck, I hate white people, black people, we're enemies, cats and dogs, like cats and dogs. And all these white people are getting nervous, and I'm just kind of like watching him, you know, I'm just like watching what he's doing. And then there's a white chick, not even fat, like a little overweight, and she was hanging out with a black chick, and they were facing away from him. He was sitting down in a seat, and they were directly in front of him, in like maybe 2 feet from the subway, the edge of the subway platform. So like in my mind, and he's going to the girl, like the white chick. He's like, "Fucking fat white bitch, you fat white bitch." Yeah, he's yelling at her. I genuinely don't even think she heard him. Okay, yeah, but I'm watching it happen. Now all I'm imagining is the subway starting to come, him getting up and fucking kicking her off the subway platform and murdering this chick. So I literally walk over and I stand in between her and him.
Classic move, yes.
But like, at what point do I got to go, like, I have a kid. I got to get home to see my family. Why am I going to put myself possibly at risk to do something like that? I don't really know what the right answer is there.
Yeah.
You know?
In New York.
But you have nothing to live for. I get you doing it.
Dude, I have a whole
bunch
of
action figures.
Doing comedy
for 18 years.
Dude, no, I get it, man. I was on this train, same kind of situation. First off, I was going to Comic-Con. I was in a Captain America costume. It's kind of stupid. I'm all dressed
up. So it really was your duty.
Yeah, but that's the thing. I was like, and these three black chicks come on the train, and they start shitting on this. They just start reaming into this Asian girl. They're like, "Fuck you, you fucking ching chong, ching chong." Like, they're doing the classic bits, you know? And in my head, I'm like, fucking, you know, what would Captain America do? Like, I got to fucking, you know, whatever. So I'm like, I got to do something. I'm going to fucking do something.
You hit the Asian girl in the face with your shield. Yeah. You're like, "You fucking chink, America."
But before I
this is for Korea.
Dude, before I can do anything, because I was like, what do I? I was having that thing of like, if I fight these girls, they're 14. I get my ass kicked by 14-year-old girls, or I just beat up 14-year-old girls. This is not a win situation for
either
me.
Either way, World Star Hip Hop Gold.
Yeah, either way.
That guy in Captain America outfit fights three black chicks.
Yeah.
You dirty bitch. Slap.
Before I can do anything, this guy stands up and just starts reaming into them and being like, "Who do you think you are, you fucking girls? Like, this is like, respect, you need to respect your elders."
He was in a Spider-Man costume.
You can see the whole train being like, "He's our hero. This guy's a fucking man."
Your fucking opportunity.
No. And then he's just going, yelling, and the girl's kind of
Greg hit her in the face with a hammer. I don't miss an opportunity.
Dude, then the guy goes, "You know why I'm right? Because white is right."
Oh.
And the whole train was like, "Well, that's it for us. Next stop, we're out of here." No one knew what to do. We all just were like, Obama. We voted for Obama. Everyone hated that Asian girl now all of a sudden. They turned on us. We didn't know what the fuck to do. But yeah, you have that thing of maybe I should have fucking reacted.
That's a very interesting moment of like people's fucking... It's like it has their minds just fucking melt. Like they don't know how to react to something like that because
they thought he was on his way to Comic-Con in his pointy ghost costume.
Hey, that's good.
Still have no idea what that means.
The fucking Ku Klux Klan, you moron.
You are dumb, Scopo. God damn it. Holy
shit. I
didn't
get that one, sorry. I know what I was on a wrestling thing. I was like, it must be a wrestler. It must be a fucking wrestler.
Yeah, the pointy ghost.
Yeah, I don't fucking know.
Why are all these wrestlers at my house with these crosses?
Jesus.
Oh boy, you better run.
Oh my god, it's like a Royal Rumble on horseback. Oh shit, dude.
So they do not like Junkyard Dog.
Yeah.
You're a big pro wrestling fan, right, Zach?
Yeah.
Zach, well, fucking. Right, Zach? Zach interview now. We've shifted gears. So, Zach, you love pro wrestling.
Lewis confuses people by fatness. He went up one.
So, you...
Socially, I'll do it now. I was big when growing up.
You're not into it now. So, it's become a social thing
now.
Because the WWE launched that app and the network where it's basically free for all the pay-per-views, people are giving them shit, and I know they're losing money on that, but I think in the long run,
I think so too.
It's going to be a really smart thing because you have guys like you or I who now are saying, "I watch WrestleMania socially."
Yeah,
and that just wasn't a thing. Nobody was spending $70 on a fucking WrestleMania to do it socially. One of the guys had to be a hardcore fan. And now I went to a WrestleMania party last year with 40 comics.
Yeah.
You know, and everyone's going nuts.
We're
everyone's
having a great
fucking
time.
Having a blast. They start to be engaged again with the wrestlers. They start to get emotional about the characters. So I think, and it was a great time for The Undertaker to lose. It was a big deal.
Huge.
It was, in the long run, I think that they are going to strengthen the relationships with the fans. They're gonna strengthen, and they know in the future they're gonna lose control of this pay per view game. One day it's gonna all go to the internet. These streaming sites as bandwidth becomes faster and technology gets better and easier and cheaper, it's gonna be really hard. And unless there's government intervention, which nobody wants, it's gonna be really hard to get a stronghold on that.
I watched the Pacquiao fight online.
Yeah, like no one.
You probably shouldn't say that. It's illegal.
But I'm just saying though, it's a pay-per-view fight. I streamed. It was perfectly fine.
Look, I know.
Believe no one's me. Doing pay-per-view.
We
Who's
all
paying
know.
For a fucking
Well,
pay-per-view?
I pay for it. I buy the UFC pay-per-views, but I also support the company.
Yeah, sure,
that,
sure.
You know, it's an industry that I kind
of
work in.
You're
so.
One out of five guys.
Yeah.
Is there five of us here? One, two, three, four. Four of us.
Well, look, here's the thing, dude. The UFC also, they are way more aggressive about cracking down. Like, dude, they will fucking shut your bar down. They will, like, went after an MMA gym because they just rented the pay-per-view and had their guys to go to the gym watch it, and they sued the gym. Because they were like, yeah, your guys pay dues there. That's a business. We don't give a shit. You know, that's that. So, like, they're very, very aggressive about it. But interesting.
I don't get that. They invited the people to the
They invited the people that are members of the gym to watch
the pay-per-view.
They just ordered it, but they didn't pay. You have to pay.
Oh, they didn't pay the bar fee.
If
bar
you're a business, it goes by your square footage, the amount of patrons. So you have to pay more money than if you're just a business. But they just bought it online and then plugged it into the TV.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they sued them for, like, 10 grand or whatever it was.
Oh, my God.
So I thought it was interesting, though, the big news this week, and obviously we talked about it a lot on Hammerfisting, but CM Punk has officially signed to fight in the UFC. Look, signing a UFC contract, the more I'm thinking about it now, I think there's a little trickery going on here, dude.
Something's up.
I have a feeling they're going to throw this guy in the Ultimate Fighter. That's what I have a feeling is going to happen. I think they're going to give him a contract either way, but I can't imagine putting this guy, I don't know what athletic commission in the world would even approve him to fight a professional fight. I mean, like, he's 0-0. He has no striking background. He has no belt in jiu-jitsu. He has no wrestling background. He's literally just
he's
a
an actor.
Dude. He's a dude.
Who?
And I get the intrigue, you know, but he is just a dude. So I'm trying to figure out a way that the UFC could get away with doing it. And I think that they're creating all this buzz. They're creating all this shit. But I have a feeling they're going to announce, all right, CM Punk's not going to compete in the UFC. He's going to compete on the next season of The Ultimate Fighter, and they're going to fucking blow the ratings through the roof on The Ultimate Fighter, the same way they did with Kimbo Slice.
That makes a lot of sense.
Are you a big CM Punk guy?
No. I mean, he's fucking... I was straight edge, and I get who he is, because he's like that straight edge dude.
Yeah.
You see that pretentious straight edge bullshit where it's like, I'm better than you, because I do... Like, fuck you, dude. I just fucking read
How long were you straight edge for?
Until I was 25.
I was straight edge until I was almost 18.
Really?
Yeah, I made it a thing. I wasn't like douchey. It was like, you know, half punk rock, half just like I kind of made a decision that I didn't really like the way the kids in school were acting that were getting fucked up on drugs and alcohol. They were just kind of, they were hand jobs. They weren't the type of people that I liked hanging out with.
Yeah.
And none of my friends really did it. So I was like, all right, I don't do that. But then, you know, toward the end of high school, we were just kind of like, all right, dude, we've never smoked pot. Let's just do it.
Yeah,
and then I took one hit, and that was fucking it, dude.
I
literally
years later.
Never looked back. Yeah. That was fucking it.
Yeah.
It's all over, man. When you were 25 and you stopped. It's the first time you had a drink?
First time I ever had a drink.
Wow.
I was 25.
What happened? Yeah. A drink when you were 21, your brother?
No. I had the only other times in my life I had a drink, I was like six. Me and my brother found wild turkey in the basement. We were little, and we just got fucking smashed on it and were passed out. My mom was like, you guys just drank. You were 6 years old. You drank a bunch of wild turkey. You were out for like 3 days. And then when I was working at Fridays, I used to work at Fridays, and this guy gave me a milkshake. He was like, try it. It's good. And it had alcohol. And I was like, this tastes disgusting. And he was like, yeah, you had a drink now, bitch. And I was like, I almost got fired because I tried to fucking beat the guy up because I was like, this is bullshit, man. I have 25 years of not drinking and you're tricking me into alcohol. But I also, you know, grew up with a bunch of like alcohol. I grew up a block out of Newark. Everybody was on heroin. So I was like, I'm not doing that. That's too fucking scary. I don't want to be that guy.
Right.
When I drank, it's hard to tell this story and not do the bit because it's a bit.
Okay, whatever. Do the bit. I don't care. Look, they don't know you. You've been in the game for 14 years. You're basically a ghost.
So the first time I ever drank, I was at this Toys R Us convention. My girlfriend was a buyer for Toys R Us, and she was like her last week, and it was a huge party that was hosted by Rosie O'Donnell. The New York Giants were there. It was insane. We had a limo, I had to wear black.
Yeah, she's a New York Giant, we know.
Yeah. So she was like, have a drink, you know, enjoy yourself. You have a drink.
Rosie said it
we to won't tell anybody.
Rosie?
No, my girlfriend.
Oh, okay.
My girlfriend. She was like, have a drink. I won't
Greg,
tell you.
Greg, have a drink. I won't tell Seinfeld.
She was like, we won't tell anybody. You know, we'll get in her limo. No one will know. This way you know what you're fighting for at least. And I was like, all right. You know, I had like a Malibu Bay Breeze or something. I had something and just passed out. She was like, you were sleeping on the table. and then she goes, until Michael Bolton got on stage and started playing, and she said, You stood to your, like, you went from 0 to 60 and were like, I have to do this. You then stared. I just ran past the New York Giants. It was like a thing where he was like, come on stage. But no one gave a shit that he was there. It was like, fuck this loser, you know? He was like, it was not his resurgence and people did not care. But I was like, fucking Michael Bolton. So I fucking went on stage. I'm singing every word to every song with him. I'm like fucking just, you know, cheek to cheek. I'm playing guitar with his guitar. Like, just insane. She's snapping pictures. The next morning is when I woke up and I didn't remember any of this. And she was like, what do you remember? And I was like, I remember something about Cabbage Patch Kids. She goes, yeah, every table got one individual Cabbage Patch Kid, limited edition Toys R Us. You have six. So I was like, okay. Yeah, and I was like, what else? And she's like, what do you remember about Michael Bolton? I was like, I don't know shit about Michael Bolton. She goes, you know every song he's ever written, and starts showing me pictures. And she shows me this one picture with his face. He's like, huh? Like, and I was like, what happened here? She goes, you guys were having a fucking awesome time. You were
when
rocking.
When you took a Cabbage Patch doll and shoved it into his asshole.
You guys were rocking and rolling. He was, you were fucking, he was having a great time. You were like yes-anding each other.
Did you want to be Bolton up too? Did you want to be Bolton up too?
She says, until you grabbed the microphone out of his hand, looked at the crowd, then looked at him and went, rock me hard and fast. Rod Stewart! And called Michael Bolton Rod Stewart to his face. To his face, you called him. And then I was like, what happened? She goes, hey, he didn't even give a shit. Like, you guys just kept singing. He had drinks with us. We partied with him all night. Like, I definitely remember, like, hanging with him and all that shit. I just don't remember some of the details. Like, I didn't realize I called him Rod Stewart and shit. But she's like, she's the pictures are on my Facebook and... It was fucking crazy. It was like the first time I ever drank. So yeah, I was like, yeah, this is gonna be this is what I'm doing for the rest of my life.
And then you just started drinking.
Then I took like a year before I really decided, because I was like, I was kind of scared. I was like, I don't know, I don't want to be an alcoholic. Look what already happened.
Yeah.
And I was my friend the horse. We were in a hot tub in like the Poconos. And he was like, drink a margarita, you fucking pussy. And I was like, I'll have one. And I was...
Are we ignoring the fact that he's in a hot tub with a guy named the horse?
Oh, yeah, yeah. That is
I was going to get
my
there.
Life, bro.
Yeah, I was going back to that. I heard that one, too.
Yeah, and the horse was like, I have a margarita. I had a margarita. And I was like, wah! I was screaming at children. And it was like, this is awesome. So I just fucking started drinking.
And when did you start smoking weed?
Like 6 months ago. Like that
week. What? Really?
like I would say like within 2 years, maybe with a year, 2 years maybe.
So you smoke weed every day?
I'm brand new. No. I
only when the horse is around.
Only when the horse is the guy who got me to smoke weed, too. He's ruined
my Why do they call
life.
Him the horse? Because you know why?
We all had nicknames. I don't know if you in the... No, it worked out for him. He had
you don't know fun. If we all have nicknames? The Real Ass Dude, Puerto Rican Rattlesnake, International Superstar, and Fat Ass Scopo? Yeah, we have nicknames. We know nicknames.
Yeah, that's all. Growing up, everyone had a nickname. Like, he was the horse because he had big-ass fucked-up teeth, but then he got braces, fixed them, so then everyone just thought he had a big
horse
dick.
Horse cock, yeah.
But whatever. I was Sir? This is ridiculous.
You have the worst nickname ever.
Here, let me tell you why my nickname. Growing up...
My nickname was Guy That Blows the Horse.
Everyone said we all said the N-word growing up because we were all like, oh, this nigga wild, he crazy, this nigga stupid. That's how we talked. Everyone was like that. I got to high school and met my first like real white friend. And I was like, he was like, yo, you want to go bowling? I was like, bowling? Y'all niggas is crazy. And he was like, yo, you can't say that. And I was like, what are you talking about? I was like, no, you can't say that. There's a difference between the A version and ER version. You don't know what you're talking about, bro. This is how we talk. And he was like, no, because of this and because of what they grew up and of that. It's like, that's just bull. You got to be careful. People.
So he's a protester.
Kind of like basically. Told me. But it got in my head. So I was like, he's right. I can't be doing that. So I went home, and I was like, we were hanging out, and they were like, yo, you know, what's up? And I was like, y'all dudes is crazy. And they were like, dude. All my friends were like, dude? Oh, sorry, sir. We're sir. Oh, very well then, sir. We'll talk to you later. Oh, no, please let the captain through. And my nickname became Sir.
Oh, this guy set you up.
Just totally set me up. Just they fucking all... Fucking! That was
so
the first
wait,
day
you,
I ever
you were a wigger or you were a punk?
No, I was punk, but we all just talked that way. You know, it was like a basic. I wasn't like a,
that's like it's like not even a real world. Like that doesn't exist. Like there's no punk rock kids who talk like wiggers.
Well, I was like a straight edge kid, but that's how I. It was like you just said it. It wasn't like I wasn't like.
But I've never heard of that. Like, I've definitely heard of like white trash kids who grow up in like hip hop culture that say it. Yeah, yeah, but that's not you.
It was. I mean, I was punk rock, but I was still. Every one of my friends was
black or Hispanic.
Black or Hispanic. So we all just talked.
So that's just what you. Because I had a little phase. I think I said nigga like serious. I was like saying it like that probably from like the fifth to the seventh grade, maybe.
Yeah, that's probably around the same.
That was like time. Where it was like, you know,
until you learned how much more fun the other version was.
Like, dude, the if ER you so land much more. VR, it yeah. is powerful.
A lot of fun, dude.
I'll tell you right now, it really nobody it's really like notices it when you just say nigga, but when you land the VR, yeah. it stops the conversation in the room. Okay, you have arrived. No, but because I think I had identity issues. I didn't really know who I was.
Yeah.
I mean, probably until I was in my fucking 20s. I think we all have yeah. identity issues. But it's like I went from being like a kind of like a hip hop kid to kind of into being like an alternative-y type kid into high school to kind of becoming like more of like a metal-y dude going into college. And then like kind of like, a, I guess, a drug dealer thief.
Guy who wore cowboy hats.
Right after that. Then I kind of went into my drug dealing thief. Yeah. Stage, were you always a good dude, or did you do some fucked up shit?
When are you going to leave that stage?
Thanks. Did you do some fucked up shit in your day?
I steal a lot.
Steal currently?
I mean, I used to work at Sears, and I'm talking.
You said I steal a lot.
I used to steal a lot. I don't try not to steal anymore. I will if it's
I
like.
Try.
I love stealing.
What have you stolen lately? Come on.
There's.
Come on.
What's the last thing? Oh, that's lately. A great. That's a great thing to ask. What's the last thing you stole? Come on.
I don't know.
Real Ass Podcast. You
oh, like a I got classic scams I do.
Seinfeld's jokes.
I don't know if it's a classic. I do the classic. I'll go to, what is it? The fucking Shake Shack. And I go, I ordered a double cheeseburger. Then they'll give you a double cheeseburger. Then you go, I'm sorry. I said I wanted two cheeseburgers. And then they give you two cheeseburgers. I go, are you just going to throw that out? I'll give it to a homeless guy. And now I got three cheeseburgers. That is a scam.
Wait, hold
that
on,
I kind of do
whoa, whoa,
all
whoa,
the
whoa.
Time.
Slow down. I love it. That's a great. That's a great fat guy scam. I need you to play it out a little more slowly though, because I got lost there. Hold on.
Oh, yeah,
what
yeah.
do you do now?
So you walk up.
Can you order them without the buns for the real ass?
Well, homeless people don't like buns.
All right, pretend Zach's working at Shake Shack, because that's probably yes. what will happen in the next year.
Yeah.
So Zach, you're working there. You're the person.
So like, yo, let me get a double cheeseburger. Right?
No, get out. We don't serve your
time. All right, I gotta go. Yeah, okay. So then you will present me with my double cheeseburger. Well, someone else will. Then Scopo will come. He'll give me my double cheeseburger.
This is a very realistic scenario, by the way.
Yeah, it's a double cheeseburger, yeah.
And then I go, no, I'm sorry. I ordered two cheeseburgers, not a double cheeseburger.
It was good acting.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry. So Scopo goes and he takes the double cheeseburger back.
They'll usually leave it there, or they'll take it back.
Okay.
And then they go back into the kitchen. Hey, Guinea Eugene Merman's trying to do that fucking scam again.
What they usually always say is, you want to just eat that till we fix your cheeseburgers? I go, all right, whatever. So I'll take it. They bring me the other two cheeseburgers. Then I go, are you just going to throw this out? I'll just give it to a homeless guy. And then I don't. I just eat all three.
Now, have they ever been like, you
so that's
pay, you
so you
pay
paid
for
basically a double cheeseburger, and you get two single cheeseburgers and a double cheeseburger.
But have they ever been? Have they ever said,
I'm gonna go do this tonight, dude? Why don't we do a YouTube instructional series on how to scam people out of shit like that, dude?
Oh yeah.
How illegal is that?
But
I want to know. Have they ever been like, no, you got to pay for all three, and you just
no.
get so pissed?
No. Worst case scenario, they just go, we'll just throw this out, and I go, well, that's kind of fucked up because I could just give it to a homeless guy.
Yeah, but God, dude, I'll give it to homeless guys.
Yeah,
I'm not going to eat three cheeseburgers.
Yeah, what kind of asshole, what kind of fat fuck is going to eat four patties? This one, a buffangul.
That is great, dude. How is that illegal? I wonder if that's illegal. Because
that's
is it stealing? I have literally zero moral issue. If I owned Shake Shack, I would give you a fucking lifetime membership for free, because that's brilliant, dude.
Yeah.
That is a great. I'm going to fucking do that today.
Dude,
you should teach all the employees on scams.
The kids I used to skate with were all poor, so they all needed skates. So I would do this scam where I would go to Sports Authority, just walk right up, pull the skates, and go.
We talked about this because I've done this exact thing with rollerblades. Continue.
Really?
Anyway,
and I
again.
Just go, I need to return these. And then they go, do you have a receipt? I go, I don't have a fucking receipt. What, I got a receipt? Ah, fuck this. I'm taking them home.
And then you
and
walk
then
out.
I just walk out with rollerblades.
That's how I literally got a pair of fucking K2s
K2
like
fatties.
That. Just like that. The exact same scam.
Dude.
I made in high school, dude, in college, my first year of college, this is what I did. Because if you go to City University, I had a CUNY ID.
Yeah.
Okay. You can get into any school.
Okay.
So you can get a Baruch, Hunter, fucking, you know, John Jay, whatever. There's like probably 15 or 20 schools in the city, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So what I would do is you go to the bookstores at the school, And what you could do is you can sell back your books at the end of the semester.
Oh, man.
So I would just walk in. I would just grab like 6 books. I just fucking throw them on the floor and jump on top of them like 8 times and beat them up a little bit. And I'd walk up and they just hand me $100. I did it to every school like probably maybe 5 or 6 times until the point where they'd be like, yeah, we'll be right back. Started asking me for ID. And I was like, all right, I'm going to fucking get arrested.
The heat's coming around the corner.
So, but it was like that was a major scam we did. Yeah. We would rob the wishing well at the Palisades Center Mall. We would fucking... just, dude, here's the thing. The wishing well, yeah.
Yeah, you stick your hands to take the quarters.
Dude, we would literally take our shoes, socks
come
off,
fishing
roll
boots.
Up. We would roll up our, this is what we do, because when we were like 17 or 16, we figured out that the mall's doors were always open. So you could go into the mall. Mm-hmm. The stores were closed, but you can actually go into the mall. It's so funny, because you know, like we'd be assholes. You'd have the kiosks that people spend like $15,000 a month. These poor people, it's like a little Indian dude, it's everything, so he can make like beaded necklaces and sell them in the mall. We just go in and fucking reach our hands underneath and pull them out and just fucking chuck beaded bracelets throughout the mall, dude.
I mean, people just breaking
dude,
them.
Dude, fucking just breaking them for no reason. Just being assholes, shit like that, you know, like just fucking, so we figured out when we were like 16, we'd play manhunt, we'd fucking, you know, security would chase us, we'd just be idiots. So then we became like 18 and 19. We were trying to support a weed habit at this point.
Getting a job, no.
Dude, the Rainforest Cafe had a massive wishing well. I'm talking about massive, dude. It was like huge. So what we would do is like 2 in the morning, me and my buddy Toby would just fucking drive up with fucking plastic shopping bags.
That's awesome.
We'd roll up our pants. We'd go in and just literally in like 3 minutes, we just hit it hard, dude, because we knew security was going to see us.
Yeah.
So we just go in, boom, 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 fill up like 3 bags worth of change. And then we would go and put them in a Coinstar machine.
Oh,
dude, I remember my mom opened the door one time. She literally, I had coins spread across my mattress on towels drying out.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we learned the hard way that you would destroy a Coinstar machine by throwing wet, seaweedy coins in. It literally started smoking. We wasted like $80 in wet change.
Yeah, that's great.
But we were like, that's the type of shit we did. We were delinquents, but we would never like... We weren't like fucking like with people's like personal shit. I guess the kiosk shit was fucked up.
Yeah.
But we weren't like hurting people. We were like,
no, you're just taking their wishes.
Well, I have a bit about it actually.
Fuck that, because they try to act like it's going to like children and it's not. That just goes to the mall. They don't. That doesn't go
no,
to, like,
it specifically goes to the Rainforest. Rainforest Cafe. They had a sign posted. We really ignored it. I kind of just blurted out.
The one in Willowbrook Mall.
Oh, fuck that.
There was no sign.
Rainforest Cafe.
But that was like the scene in Goonies, you know, where they're like, you can't steal these kids' wishes. Like, the fuck I can't, dude. Are you kidding me?
I just stopped using my college ID for like shit. You know, student discounts?
Oh, boy.
I just stopped using, like, you get like 30% off shit. I just stopped using it. Like,
that's your fucking scam is you use
right,
your college ID?
Yeah.
This motherfucker eats 3 cheeseburgers a day for $8.
I have parents who love me, so I don't really need that.
What other scams have you done? Anything else?
When I used to work at Sears, this is some shit, I mean, that could have went down. The first day I was at Sears,
I stole washing machines.
I used to just steal Super Nintendo games and shit, but then they put me in the car audio department, and I met this guy, Angel, and he was like...
Jewish guy.
Yeah. And they were just talking...
Greg, hook me up with your sister, Monica.
They were just talking about like how they would steal, like whatever, and I was like, what? Nah, that's stupid. I was like, what you would need to do is you take the fucking Bose system, you return it, but there's no actual system, and then you mark it down to the price you want to have it, and then you put the sticker on that, and then you sell it, and you buy it for $40, right? So, and they were like, huh. The next day I come to work, Angel walks up to me, was like, hey, good looking out, puts a $100 bill in my hand, and I was like, what? And he was like, yeah, that shit you said yesterday was like that was solid. You looked me out. And I sold it, made $1,000. And I was like, what? And that was the first day where it was like, okay, so now it's open season in this department, where we were just like any product that was coming in, like the display models, we would take the box and then just shove shit into that and then call your friend fucking Louise. He'd come and you're selling him. He's opening up a boombox he paid $45 for. He's got a laptop computer in it, mini disc players, and like 3 car stereos. And then we were selling the car stereos back in Bloomfield, making like, I was in high school making $60,000 a year.
Yeah.
I was making like $40,000 at the job because it was sales. And then on top of that, we were making like just a shitload of money because in our department, they said in 1 year, it went from $20,000 in theft to $140,000 between me and the 5 guys. There was one guy who wasn't stealing. His name was Todd, black guy, kind of like Carlton, very like very nerdy and religious. We were always like, he was really cool, but no one fucked with him, you know? Until one day, the police come in, handcuff him, bring him out,
And we're like, what the fuck was Todd doing? Because he spoke to nobody. Like, he was the one guy. We were like, he's the only guy who's clean. I see Todd 2 years later on the bus. What he was doing was marking down. You could pay your Discover card at Sears. So what he would do was return shit that didn't exist. So then that means the register would be up. Money, extra money is in the register now. Then he would take that extra money and put it towards his Discover card. He bought an Infiniti, the car, on his Discover card and fucking paid it off. And they didn't know that. They just knew he was doing something. They made him look like he got arrested. They just fired him for like some, you know, some tax evasion bullshit.
Wow.
And he fucking... No,
he got away with it.
He got away with it.
No, because he was taking the bus.
That's
where
the only
Infiniti
thing.
Go?
We don't know what happened to the Infiniti because he was on the bus. I heard rumors that like it got stolen or something like that, and he was just on the bus that day. But
yeah.
He stole an Infiniti from Sears. We didn't even sell cars. And my man was a fucking man. He was the fucking man.
That's a real ass dude right there.
He was like the head God. Boss. No one knew about him, but he was the fucking leader.
He was the fucking.
That's
he was
phenomenal.
He
dude.
Was the basic. It was that dude, the fucking Sammy.
He was
Sosa.
Verbal.
Kaiser
Soze.
Kaiser Soze, man. Kaiser Soze. Everyone was like, yo, this guy's straight laced. He's religious, and he like an $80,000. Car. He was every day. He's putting like $800 on his fucking paying that shit off.
That's so fucking funny,
insane.
Dude. That's great. Dude.
Yeah, man.
I had it in me. I had it built in me since I was a little kid to just like that. Like it didn't matter. Like just fucking the man over like that.
Yeah.
Like we had like remember Columbia House?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Like every pet I've ever had has had a Columbia House account. I had a fucking fish tank full of fish named after every member of Skid Row, Poison, and Aerosmith. You had a little sucker fish that was Steven Tyler. Every one of them had a Columbia House account. I had the most amazing collection of metal tapes you would ever fucking imagine. And I paid, I think, 10 cents for every dozen tapes or something like that. And my mom had no problem with it. My mom, I remember, she would bring me to Baxter's Pharmacy, and she would tell me which perfume tester to steal for her. And she was like, if you get caught, tell them it's my birthday and you were trying to get me a gift.
Oh,
and they'll just
the
think
best.
It's cute.
That's awesome.
That's a good one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And I never got caught.
Of course not.
But
real ass dude.
Real ass dude. Real ass
dude. And then you grew up to be a fucking full-time street urchin. So.
Zach, did you steal shit? Did you run any scams?
No, I got arrested for grand theft in high school, so I fucking got terrified.
For what? What would you steal?
A golf cart.
Oh, wow.
I was just being funny, though.
Yeah, me and my friend stole a golf cart. We were doing tricks in the woods, and we stole it from our high school. And
really?
We all got arrested for fucking burglary and grand theft.
Oh, man. Where
and
are you
that's
from?
Fucking. I'm from Secaucus, New Jersey.
Oh, all right. We're from Jersey.
And we got fucking. Yeah,
probation?
No. My friend that like ran it, he was like a fucking lifetime criminal. And he had a great lawyer, and he got it taken down to theft of a conveyance.
How do they?
Which is like running out of a cab.
How do they find it was you?
Because there was like 12 guys, and they all just fucking toppled like a castle.
I think Mimi from the Drew Carey Show just ran off with that go-kart. I've smashed it with that line a couple times in my life, but it lands.
It always works. It's a good
it
one. Yeah.
How old are you?
I'm 27.
Okay, no, I knew a kid. From Secaucus. We would steal golf carts, but I wasn't sure if you guys were in the same ring.
Alright, look, dude, we're gonna fucking wrap up here
in a
minute, man.
I can't
even
ask me if I steal shit.
Cause you just said you came from a good family. You fucking
I didn't have any.
You used your college ID until you were 26.
Yeah, I didn't
and that was your story about running.
We were all stealing things shit. And Scopo was home jerking off the Goodfellas.
I'm still trying to figure out a way to print up a college ID. I never even went to college.
Do we? I mean, we.
That's what, see, on mine, it never said the year you graduated. It just said Sacred Heart University. And
I knew this
it.
Real dodgy black so, chick who was like 30, but she looked young, and she used to carry a college ID. So when she got arrested, she would be like, "I'm 16," and she would give her friend's number, and then her friend would say she was her mom and come pick her up every time she got arrested.
That's a good one.
Smart.
I just
Very
said if they
smart.
Asked me, I was like, "Yo, I'm in grad school." That's all I would say. Like,
I mean, dude,
they heard you talk and knew that wasn't fucking true.
Yeah, basically. Like, grad school for what? I'm like, fucking finance, you know? Yeah.
I feel like if I, like, went to prison, I could become, like, a good criminal. Like, I'm too afraid now, but if I, like, went to prison, I think I could figure out how to escape. You know what I'm saying?
Like, no, I think you would be the guy who runs, who gets, like, weed and shit there.
Yeah, maybe, but I think I would just figure out a way to escape.
You know what you'd be good though? You would talk to the security guards and you would get them on your side. That's how you'd be good at trading shit.
I remember one time I got arrested. The most recent time, it was when B was pregnant. I didn't get arrested. I got handcuffed. They gave me a ticket at the station for smoking weed in public. Mm-hmm. But they brought me there, dude. And they tell you they're not going to arrest you. They're like, yeah, dude, we're going to bring you to the station, make sure you don't got any warrants, but then we'll let you go when you get there. And I've been in that situation a half a dozen times at least. Yeah. So they just tell you that to, so you don't freak out, right? But 90% of the time, they're still taking you to fucking Central Bookings. So I'm like, dude, come on, bro. I know you're like, I know the deal. Come on, man. Don't fuck. I like, yeah, my chick's pregnant. She's inside. She was working at Eastville. She was working. Oh. I was hosting the show. Oh, in the middle of the show, story. Dude. Oh, my God. Ridiculous. Okay.
Oh, man.
So they take me, and I remember I had a toothpick, and they told me to throw my toothpick out, right? And I just have a nervous habit because I used to smoke cigarettes.
Spitting toothpicks in cops' faces?
So I smacked
Razor Ramon.
No, dude. So I fucking palmed it. I pretended to throw it out, right? And then I palmed it. And I had it between my middle finger and my palm. Because I used to do magic as well. So I got a pretty good sleight of hand.
Such an idiot.
So, dude, they start walking me to the cell. And he's like, what the fuck is that in your hand right there? And he sees the toothpick.
Did you get beaten at least?
I mean, it looks like I'm trying to fucking David Blaine my way out of this cell, dude.
What right. is what? And you just God, smoke that. You don't know?
Right after I'm trying to convince the guy the not to take moments. Me in, I'm like, dude, come on, man. Don't take me in. You can take me. Come on, I don't have any warrants, dude. Now it looks like I'm about to fucking toothpick my way out of this cell.
You gotta pick the lock with a fucking toothpick.
So then I'm like, dude, I just have a nervous habit. I swear I'm not going to try to escape with a toothpick. He was like, throw it the fuck away, man. I throw it away. I'm like, oh.
Can I take this cake with me? Oh,
dude. Dude, so fucking bad, dude.
That's funny.
All right, Greg, anything coming up? Any shows you want people to come out and see? Headlining shows, podcasts you want to promote?
I'll be in New Haven. Joker's Wild, January 2nd, headlining.
Cool. Very cool. Fun. January 2nd and 3rd?
I think January 2nd, 3rd, yeah.
Cool. Who are you going with? Who's opening for you?
I don't know. I was
bring your own
somebody.
Opener.
Can I? I would like to.
Just ask him. Or don't ask him. Just tell him. That's what I do.
Yeah, that's...
I was like, yeah, dude. I was like, I want to get a ride for free, so I'm going to bring my opener.
I don't want to be by myself. Yeah, I'm going to do
you gotta share. You got to share your room with him, but...
Yeah, I don't give a shit. I'm the one who snores.
They it's a better hotel now. It was a really shitty hotel.
Oh, and I stayed in that shitty one?
No, it's a nicer hotel
God.
Now. Yeah.
I heard they upped the hotel game.
Yeah, hotel game's a little bit better. So go check out Greg Stone. Fucking hilarious, dude. He's got literally 15 minutes of cunt jokes. So make sure you guys go and check him out live. Joker's Wild, New Haven, Connecticut. Anything else? What's your podcast called, dude?
Oh, The Rad Dude Cast.
The Rad Dude Cast. Kind of a real ass dude play, but it's fine. We're not going to. It's fine. It's really not a big deal, guys. Check out the other Real Ass Dude podcast, The Rad Dude Cast.
Is it by yourself?
No, me, Anthony DeVito, and Brendan Ayer. We just did episode 70 yesterday.
Real Ass Dude. That's what I named it. But also, go follow Greg on Twitter.
Oh, GregStone_.
GregStone_ on Twitter. And Scopo, anything coming up? No?
No.
Our shows?
Your shows, yeah. That's it. I'm opening for you.
Where are you guys at?
We're going to be in New Haven as well.
Oh, I'll be with Bobby. April. December 31st, New Year's Eve.
Yeah, New Year's Eve, December 31st.
I'll be the Comedy Connection, Rhode Island. So.
Sick, dude.
Oh, nice.
Fucking sick, man. Zach, anything coming up?
Every Tuesday at Bar None, and I'm going to start doing a monthly movie screening night like Mystery Science Theater 3000 at the Treehouse on 29th Street. It's going to start next month.
Oh, that's super cool.
What do you screen?
Low budget horror movies, like making fun of horror movies with burlesque in the middle.
Love it, dude.
That's cool.
Fucking great, dude.
Can we, in between, or not?
Can we come out and do a Real Ass podcast special?
Yeah, we'll make it happen.
We'll do a live one, and we'll get all the Real Ass fans to come out and check us out doing Mystery Science Theater.
You did do comedy style. Before?
No, we're just going to like riff during the movie.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, guys, also check me out live. Me and Dave Smith both co-headlining January 25th and 26th in Toronto. Go to GomezComedy.com for information on that show. Also, myself and Big J, December 31st, New Year's Eve, we're going to be at Comics at Foxwoods. So make sure you get tickets to that now because that bitch will sell out if you want to check out me and Big J, a little Legion of Skanks action. Also, Shiprocked, it's officially announced, Legion of Skanks on Shiprocked this year with Limp Bizkit, Metal Allegiance, Chevelle, and a bunch of other bands that aren't very good.
I guess I'm not going to that?
Oh, I don't know what's going on, man. We'll see. Dave, if Dave pulls out, there's a chance you can get in.
Oh, no, because the way you said Legion of Skanks, I was like, oh, you called me up one morning and was like, you want to do it? I was like, yeah.
Well, I didn't say definitely. I said there's a chance Dave's going to pull out.
No, I know, the way you just said Legion of Skanks, I was like,
why don't we just talk about this off the show?
It was more fun. I thought you were going to be, just didn't tell me.
Okay, guys, listen to me. Thanks so much for listening to this week's episode. We will check you next week on the Real Ass Podcast. Follow me on Twitter at Louis J. Gomez. Go to my new Instagram account, Gomez Comedy on Instagram. Just crushing it on the Instagrams. That's it. Peace.
C'est la vie. Adios. Good riddance. Fuck you.
That's all, folks.